The following program is made possible by the friends and partners of GodQuest Ministries.
Who cares if the days of Genesis are 6 days or long periods of time? We do, and this show, we want to tell you why. From the CTN studio in Pensacola, Florida, this is The Creation Today Show. I'm one of your hosts, Eric Hovind, and I'm joined by Paul Taylor.
And we're going to be talking today on today's show about a newly published book called No Time for Itching Ears.
That's correct. A great book, by the way.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Paul is the author of that book.
And we're also going to be answering a couple of questions from viewers about a literal interpretation of Genesis.
Remember, if you have questions, this is your show. We believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate in every detail. This is The Creation Today Show, and we've got a great show for you today as we go through some more fuzzy words, talk about those and what's going on in news articles around the country. We've also want to talk about your new book, or the newly published book, No Time for Itching Ears. Great, great read. I really, really enjoyed that book.
Oh, no, we can't spend too long talking. Oh, go on then.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. We're gonna talk about that the whole show.
Yeah.
to start off, though, this show, we've actually got a new segment called The Rundown, where we're going to give 30 seconds per topic, and I've got a couple topics listed. Paul, I'm going to ask you about a couple, and you can pick a couple and ask me about them. And so we'll see how Paul does on The Rundown. Are you ready for this?
We're going to check to see whether or not we can answer questions rapidly and whether we've got the information there at our fingertips.
Mm, so be ready always to give an answer. We've got to be able to do that.
You're going to be first up, Eric.
Oh, so, great.
You've got
Make it an easy one, okay?
Well, we'll try. We'll see how we go. So you've got 30 seconds.
All right.
On which to talk on the topic that I'm going to give you in just a moment. And the topic is carbon dating.
Carbon
dating starting now.
Carbon dating is a very neat scientific idea where they take the half-life of certain radioactive elements to try to determine how old something was when it died. There are several problems with carbon dating. Number one, it never can prove the Earth is millions of years old. If the entire world were made up of carbon-14, within 100,000 years there would be none left. So it's a neat scientific idea. Bottom line is it does not work. When they know the age of something, it doesn't work. When they don't know, they say that it might work.
Brilliant. 1 second to go. That's excellent.
Was that an okay? That was an okay answer. What do you think?
I think that was fine. There's quite a few extra things that could have been said, but then you didn't have
only 30 seconds. How
do we say them in? So let's see.
Now my turn. Oh, you're going to grade me?
We'll score you, let's say, 8 out of 10.
All right. 8 out of 10. I'm happy about that. Okay. Let me ask you about one then. What about, think here. Okay. Since he did carbon dating on me, let me do a fun one on him. Paul, you have 30 seconds to talk about global warming. On your mark, get set, go.
Well, global warming is the idea that the Earth is getting warmer because of increased carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And what the Bible says about that is that in Genesis chapter 8, 22, we read, "While the Earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease." So God is not caught out by the things that human beings do, the things that we have in mind. So therefore, we have not got to be worried about anything that might happen with the climate, because God knows what he's doing.
Oh, right on time. Not bad, not bad. Good answer, too, because so many people get so worried about, well, what are we going to do with climate change and what are we going to do about this?
There's God lots says, of things that we could have said, Manuel. I didn't say anything about carbon dioxide not actually being the most significant
the
greenhouse gas anyway. There's a lot of other things. Maybe we should do a whole show
but
on that sometime.
That wouldn't be a bad... You know what global warming is? If you want us to talk about that, send us in, say yes to a show on global warming, or as they call it now, climate change. But you're right. The point is, God is the one who controls it. We don't. We really do leave that to him, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
that was a tough one. So what I think we'll do now is you're going to have 30 seconds now, Eric,
all
to talk about the significance of Mount St. Helens.
Oh.
30 seconds begin now.
I love it. Mount St. Helens is a modern-day evidence for the worldwide flood. When it erupted, a big piece of mud went down and flowed at 70 to 100 miles an hour. And when they go back and look at what happened to the mud, it actually stratified. It is now layered, and you can go there and see that it's all layered, lending evidence to catastrophic processes creating the layers that we see today. The Toutle River got backed up because of the mud flow. Once it went over the dam, the mud dam, it carved it out and formed a miniature Grand Canyon.
Stop.
Well,
amazing.
Those are the two things that I really think of when I think of Mount St. Helens is we see strata now from a catastrophic event, and we've got a miniature Grand Canyon. Those are the two things that come to my mind when I think of Mount St. Helens.
Very, very significant, aren't they? And of course, there's an absolutely superb DVD out at the moment, which takes a bit longer than 30 seconds.
Yes.
with Dr. Steve Austin.
Great one. Kyle Justice did that and put that together. Did a great job putting that together.
Absolutely.
I forgot to score you. What are you going to give me, and that'll determine what I score you.
That one was very good, though. I'm going to give you 9 out of 10 for that one.
Okay, your first one, I'll give you 9 out of 10. And so if you get 8 or above, you're the winner of this round. Let me give you something fun here then. Okay, I got something. How about you have 30 seconds to talk about zircon crystals.
Zircon
on your mark.
Crystals.
Get set. Go!
Zircon crystals are little crystals that you find in granites. They are partially radioactive. They contain uranium, so you can date them by uranium lead dating. Secular scientists will date them to about 1.5 billion years old, but also they're giving off helium, so you can measure the rate at which helium diffuses from those crystals, assuming they were very old or that they were only 6,000 years old, and then you do experiments on helium diffusion, and you find that the experimental results for helium diffusion fit with the crystals only being 6,000 years, not with being billions of years.
Oh, 2 seconds over, but wow! Oh my goodness. 10 out of 10 right there, Paul. That, I could not have done that. That's impressive. Now, there really is some cool science behind the zircon crystals and what they find, isn't it?
There is. There's a huge amount that could be said there. And the important matter there is that, you know, you could assume that those crystals were a couple of billion years old. You could assume that they were 6,000 years old. We can calculate how much helium has gone from those crystals. So we can measure two different rates of helium diffusion, calculate two different rates, one very slow, one very fast, depending on how old the crystals are. And the thing is that the experimental results that you then do fit with the creationist view, or the evolutionary view.
That is so cool. There's some great books out there. I know Robert Gentry does stuff on polonium halos with Creation's Tiny Mysteries.
Yes.
Does the RATE Project cover...
Well, this is mainly been covered by the RATE Project.
The RATE Project,
The book you need is a two-volume book called Radioactivity and the Age of the Earth, published by ICR.
Well, we got a great show. Got a couple of announcements that before we go into the next couple segments where we answer questions about the literal 6 day of Genesis. Speaking of the 6 days of Genesis, we are in the middle of the Genesis series project, which is incredibly exciting. You haven't got to see this yet. I got to see some behind the scenes recently. The 3D animation of Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 3. I'm watching it with the glasses in 3D. It will blow your mind. Check out GenesisSeries.com and you can see some behind the scenes of the Genesis series project. It really is going to be incredible.
I can't wait for that. And if you're going to look for some of the products that we produce, then have a look at the new Creation Store website. Same address,
right.
creationstore.org, but a brand new website. It works so much better. And
you're going to have a great shopping experience on there. You really are.
Absolutely.
We really encourage you to, there's a lot of people that if you want to talk to them, your friends have questions. And there are lots of resources that have the answers, and I'd really encourage you to help your friends be a witness to them, starting with the very foundation, starting with creation. Hey, not to mention your newly published book, No Time for Itching Ears, is out, and it's on thecreationstore.org. So you can go there and get that. If you come to Pensacola, would you sign it for them?
I'll do sign copies of that if you want. Then, of course, it will reduce the value because it will be scribbled in.
So you can buy it at a used price if that happens. Well, listen, we got a great show talking about a couple questions on the age of the earth. We'll cover those right after this.
Creation Today is introducing a new audio resource, the Holy Bible on Double Speed. Because it is difficult to find the time for lengthy reading sessions, we sometimes miss the big picture produced by reading an entire book of the Bible or a large section without interruption. The first disc of this three-disc set presents Alexander Scorby's wonderful reading of the Bible at the original recorded speed. The second disc is digitally enhanced to 1.5 times faster than the original speed. The third disc is literally double the speed of the original audio recordings. You can now listen to the entire Word of God in 37 hours. We offer free downloadable playlists to maximize your reading options. With this new resource, we invite you to fly through the Bible to gain an amazing new view of God's Word.
I'm Eric Hovind from the Creation Today Show. I know firsthand how much your monthly support would encourage the Category 5 TV team. Support the show by supporting Category 5 at patreon.com/Category 5.
Welcome back. You're watching the Creation Today Show with me, Paul Taylor, and with Eric Hovind. Coming up in this segment, we're going to be talking about why it's absolutely vital to have a literal interpretation of Genesis.
Yeah, and what are the different interpretations? There's actually several different ways people try to interpret Genesis to make it fit what they want it to fit. So we'll be talking about that. But first, I want to go over another article on fuzzy words, because this fascinates me, how much real science versus fuzzy words is in scientific articles of today.
And you know, the period of time that we've been using to prepare for these shows in the last couple of weeks have been just full of articles that have been great for fuzzy words. A couple of weeks ago on a show, we talked about fuzzy words in a dinosaur article about
what made climate. The dinosaurs go extinct.
Yeah, which is absolutely amazing. But there's been another article that's been doing the rounds in several different news agencies about the supposed evolution of human brains. And it's all down to, apparently, changes in code in the DNA. That the DNA has been copied, and at some point it's been copied wrong. Mistakes have come up.
Right.
And according to
the mutations, right?
That's right, mutations. Okay. And those mutations have caused changes in the code, which have then led to the human brain growing larger than our supposed cousins, the chimpanzees.
So it's just a mutation that gives us a bigger brain, and this is what separates us from the chimpanzees.
Yeah. And again, I've got a copy of an article from the Daily Telegraph, and it's full of those same fuzzy words. By duplicating itself 2.5 million years ago, the gene could have given, that's the phrase, see, could have given early human brains the power of speech and invention, leaving cousins such as chimpanzees behind.
I love the title of the article. Did a copying mistake build man's brain?
Well, this is incredible, isn't it? Because the point is that copying mistakes, changing the code, are the supposed mechanism by which we supposedly get speech and so on. Now, it would be interesting if you talk to our colleague who does all the work on the website and so on. Can you imagine if he sort of copied the entire website but changed one letter
in the code?
Yeah, how useful is that going to be? Those of us who've ever done a little bit of of coding of websites, PHP coding and things of that sort.
One little mistake.
You just make one mistake. I mean, in PHP, if you just type a space in
the wrong spot.
In the wrong place. A space at the end of a line, you will often find that that the whole thing does not work. It doesn't.
Yeah.
So you don't. We wouldn't get a website that suddenly had developed the power of speech.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, we've talked to a guy named Jay Siegert, Jay Siegert, who's done some research. We got to have him on a show to talk about that. That would be fascinating.
I think it would be great to do that. And he's done this talk on the subject of information.
Yes.
And he's shown how, in fact, the information, often you read it forwards in the DNA, but actually you then read the same code backwards and it does something else in
the
body.
And it has a different meaning.
So one letter wrong in the DNA would actually
messes up two definitions, forward and backwards.
But without stealing his thunder, it's even more complex than that. And
it
would be just amazing to talk to him and get that information out.
Well, here, Paul, you've taken that article and you've actually highlighted in yellow the fuzzy words. This could have happened. It may have led to this. Could have caused. This probably did. And there's a lot of that. There's a whole lot of that.
Yeah.
So what's the real science behind this?
Well, there's very, very little real science there at all. The real science is that our DNA is probably similar in many ways to the DNA in chimps. But, you know, even that, if we can see that, it's interesting, by the way, this article says that chimp DNA is 96% similar to humans. Other articles have said 98%, so they can't even decide on that. But you see, even that doesn't imply that we evolved from common ancestors with chimps.
Not at all.
Similarities in the DNA actually implies that chimps and humans have a common designer.
Exactly. I mean, did you know snow cones are 98% water?
Yes.
Watermelons are 98% water.
Well, they must have evolved from the same place.
Exactly. Clouds are 100% water. They must have both come from clouds.
Of course, even if you talk about DNA, we share 60% of our DNA with bananas.
Really? Wow. I know some that share even more than that. But you got to keep an eye out on these articles for the fuzzy words that come up in articles. They really show you how much science is behind there.
Yeah, and you know, our colleague in charge of social media posted a link to that article on our Facebook page.
That's right.
And it would be quite useful to have a look at our Facebook page and join in the arguments, join in the conversation on these sort of matters.
Yep, facebook.com/creationtoday, and you can add your voice to that. Okay. Why is it important to have a literal interpretation of Genesis? I want to get to that, but first, let's go through and talk about some of the different ways people use to interpret Genesis, some of the names of them. You're familiar with all of them. Kind of give us a rundown of some of these and what they try to teach.
Well, there are some people who will simply say, well, the Bible's figurative, so we don't need to believe Genesis at all.
Right.
Therefore, they would take a theistic evolution view. There are other people who take a theistic evolution view but want to believe that Genesis is true. So they've developed something called the framework hypothesis, where they try and say, well, this is literature and it's giving these essential literary truths, but we still don't really believe it anyway. That's a second view.
It's a way to try to combine the we do believe but we don't believe into one. Okay.
There's a third view, an old earth creationist view. Now,
right.
These people are interesting because they claim to be on our side. They claim to be opposed to evolution, but they take an old earth view, sometimes known as a day-age view, because they say each day of creation must be a long age of time. There's a fourth view related to that called progressive creation, where these people again say they don't believe in evolution, but what they say is that God created things on different periods of time, millions and millions of years apart. They take the days of creation also as figurative, but they don't necessarily even appear in the same order as they do in Genesis.
So they're trying to reject evolution, but keep the millions of years and say, okay, God made this, whatever kind of evolution says evolved or the Bible teaches, okay, they made this, and then millions of years later, God added to it this, and then millions later added this. Okay.
Well, the progressive creationist accepts all the astronomical evolution business, you know, the Big Bang theory and so on.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
Then there is the gap theory. There's this idea that there's a gap of millions of years between the first two verses of Genesis. And there is actually another view related to the gap theory that's quite popular among some people these days. The idea that there's a gap of millions and millions of years before the first verse of Genesis. They maintain that they believe everything in Genesis 1 literally, but they say that there must have been millions and millions and billions of years before the actual events of the Bible started.
Now, the ruin recreation theory, the idea that God made it all, then it was destroyed, Lucifer's flood, and then God remade it. That's basically gap theory,
That's pretty
right?
much the same as the gap theory.
Okay.
There's another variant on it, but it's basically the gap theory that was proposed by Thomas Chalmers, taken up by Schofield in his reference Bible, and taken up by Dake in his reference Bible.
Now, why do you think these different theories, you got the literal, theistic, old earth, day age, progressive, framework, gap, why, it seems like all these other ones, other than the literal, is trying to add time to the Bible.
What they all have in common is that they are trying to add time because they have taken the authority, the idea that there are these long periods of time. They haven't found that in Genesis. They've got it from elsewhere. They claim that science has found this, and therefore they have to make a difference in interpretation. So they are taking an authority, in every case, from outside the Bible and imposing it on the Bible.
Taking modern-day scientific thoughts and putting it above as authority over Scripture.
Remember, we read in Proverbs 30 that you are not to add to God's words, lest he rebuke us.
Okay, so what evidence is there of the literal 6 day? How do we know that we're right? Let's talk about that right after this break.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're watching the Creation Today Show with Eric Hovind and Paul Taylor, and we're talking about why the literal interpretation of Genesis is so important. We've been discussing the age of the earth, and you said that really the other interpretations of Genesis comes down to trying to incorporate the age of the earth, right?
It is. It's about trying to incorporate ideas about the age of the earth that come from outside the Bible. So it's therefore imposing an outside authority onto the Bible instead of taking the Bible and what God has said in His Word.
We get a number of questions on the subject, one such as the one I'm about to read, and that's why this is such an important topic and we wanted to take the time to cover it. Here's a question from Melinda in Minnesota. Eric and Paul, I have just a question about the age of the earth. You guys talk a lot about the earth being only 6,000 years old, and I'm not disputing that, but I was just wondering about the difference in God's time and human time. What if 1,000 years is just the blink of an eye to God? If that is the case, then the 6 days that God created the world in would have been much more than just 6 days. 6 days to God could be millions of years to humans. What are your thoughts on this? Thanks.
Well, of course, it's quite true that millions of years to God could be what day to humans or vice versa, because, you know, God is outside time. But that is not what's important here, because that's completely missing the point. When we have the account of creation in Genesis, it's God telling us what He did.
Yes.
You know, and He goes on to talk about other things. For example, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, we're right in the Ten Commandments, and one of the commandments has a reason given for it. It's the fourth commandment, which tells us that we're to take one day out of the week is to be special to the Lord.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. And the reason given in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, is God says, "In 6 days I made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh I rested." Now, if that's the case, if this was figurative, if God was just saying these are millions and millions of years, then what's the point of the fourth commandment? How on earth can it possibly read? You know, you've got to keep one day in seven holy, says God, because I made the world in 6 million years, long periods of figurative time and rested, whatever. It doesn't make sense. It only actually makes sense if the 6 days are literal.
And there's several other places in the Bible that use that phrase, the seventh day. It's in Hebrews, it's in Exodus, it's in several other places in Scripture.
There isn't a single place in the Old Testament where the word day is used with a number where it means anything other than a 24-hour day. I think it's about 234 times. I may have got that slightly wrong, but it's certainly over 200 times in the Old Testament you have the Hebrew word for day, yom, with a number. And in every single case, it always means a 24-hour day.
Now, if you say, but time doesn't matter to God, so it could have been millions of years. Well, it couldn't have been millions of years, but you're right, time doesn't matter to God. He's not locked inside of it. Some famous verses that people use to support that are 2 Peter 3:8, a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. So they use that, but those verses are not talking about the creation of the world. Those verses are saying, look, God invented it. He's with us right now.
Yes.
He's with us while you're watching it, because this isn't live. He's in 1800s, 1700s, 1600s. He's all throughout time.
Yes.
So time doesn't matter to Him.
Well, of course time doesn't matter to God, but what God says is true matters to God.
That's right.
And you know, when Jesus said that Adam was from the beginning of the world, we read in Matthew 19, Adam's from the beginning of the world, then that matters, because if Adam was not from the beginning of the world, then Jesus is a liar.
Jesus is lying, yeah.
You know, and Adam was there in the creation week, made in the creation week. And the phrase that Jesus uses there, the phrase in the Greek means from the beginning of the world, not the beginning of creation. So it absolutely matters. It's absolutely vital. You know, I often think those people who say, well, the world could be older than 6,000 years, or that the days could be long periods of time, either of those points, you are missing the point, which is that Jesus believed differently. So the question that you have to answer, if you want to say that the days are long periods of time, or if you want to say that the age is more than 6,000 years because it doesn't matter, it mattered to Jesus.
Yeah.
And do you believe the words of Jesus or not? And, you know, I sometimes get a bit worked up on this.
I know,
because
you're going,
Christians say that it doesn't matter, that this is a divisive issue. You know, they're dividing themselves from Jesus. If Jesus said it's important, then it's important.
And this is something that we find fascinating, because we travel and speak in churches. We go there to try to help them understand the foundations of Genesis from the scientific perspective and the biblical perspective. And there are a number of churches that will not talk about this subject. I mean, despite that God's word says evening and morning the first day, evening and morning the second day, evening and morning the third day, they go, you know what? That's divisive. Let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and it makes me wonder, you know, modern science has said that that there can't be 6 days of creation. Well, hold on a minute. Modern science has said that a man can't walk on water.
That's true.
Modern science has said that a man can't turn water into wine.
That's true.
Modern science has said that a man can't heal the sick or raise people from the dead or, for that matter, rise from the dead himself. And you know what? I believe all those things.
That's right. We're talking about the creator of the universe here, guys. We're not talking about somebody dealing in our realm, okay? You have to step outside. The creator can do whatever he wants. He can make it in 6 days, 6 million years, or 6 seconds. And he told us exactly what he did. He said he did it in 6 days.
And you know, a friend of mine who's a creation speaker in Britain had a lady come to him and say, you know, that I'm not going to limit God to doing this. And his reply was, yeah, I don't limit God. He says, I limit myself to believing what God said. And, you know, our friend Carl Kirby has often said, well, you know, people have said, well, I've read what you said now, God. Now I'm going to tell you what you meant. You know, what arrogance people have when they want to tell God what he actually meant.
That is so true. You know, anything other than this, if this isn't your authority, it's something else, then you have the wrong authority. This has to be our authority. God's holy word, his revealed word to mankind. Speaking of Carl Kirby, by the way.
Yeah, which we were.
We were. He's got a great ministry. Reason for Hope had been with Answers in Genesis for years. Really wants to focus on the youth of America. Sees that, man, the youth are going astray and really wants to do things to combat that. So his ministry is focusing on that.
It's got a ministry called Reasons for Hope, and the website is a bit difficult to remember because the word reasons and the word hope, you've got to have the abbreviation. So it's rforh.com. rforh.com, reasonsforhope.com.
And you can remember him, and he's doing a great work. He is actually coming down to the Proof of God Conference in Orlando, Florida this October 12th. And 13th, and we're excited about having him there. It's
absolutely
going to be great.
But have a look at Carl's site if you want to book him for any particular purpose, but particularly very, very gifted to speaking to youth.
He's been working with a company doing some great videos called Debunked. If you want to check those out, fast-paced, entertaining, yet a great, clear message about the creator of the universe and some of the questions that people have about that.
Yeah, well, if you've got questions yourself, then please make sure that you send them to questions@creationtoday.org.
Of course, we're on Twitter if you want to Twitter us, @creationtoday, and on Facebook, facebook.com/creationtoday, and we invite you to join the conversation there and get involved in teaching people the truth. You can talk to people about the truth on Twitter, can't you, Paul?
You can indeed,
and
yes.
On Facebook, for some reason, we attract plenty of people that don't believe God's word is true. So you want a mission field? Come on and join it, man. We're attracting them all over the place.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a production of God Quest Ministries.
Yeah, we want to thank you guys so much for enjoying season 2 of the Creation Today Show. Make sure you tell somebody else to watch this and get their questions answered on these most vital and important subjects. God bless.
Do you need the tools to defend your faith? Visit our websites for up-to-date content, attend one of our live events, and shop online at creationstore.org. We are Creation Today.